This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Cherry Hill Volvo is honored to sponsor the Rich Zeoli podcast. We thank Rich for informing and entertaining all of us. Rich Zeoli, 1210 Talk Radio and Cherry Hill Volvo, an absolutely amazing team.
Well, listen, I'm very, very excited now to go to my very special guest this morning. It's not every day you get the senior advisor to the President of the United States of America on the program, but I'm very honored to welcome to Philadelphia, Jared Kushner. Jared, good morning.
Hey, Rich, how are you? It's great to be with you.
Well, it's great to have you, and I'm glad we could finally make it work. You're an incredibly busy guy, of course, and you succeeding in negotiating Middle East peace is only one of the many things in your portfolio of accomplishments, so I'm really grateful that you made the time today, so thank you.
No, it's an honor to be with you. We've known each other for a long time, and it's great to be with you and your listeners today.
Jared, this is a big accomplishment in the Middle East. And, you know, I was frustrated last weekend. I watched you do another interview and they would not talk about it. And really was frustrating to me. And I sent you a note. I said, please come on my show so we can talk about Middle East peace. This is a major historic achievement here. And for the first time in decades now, we're actually moving forward with what could be a peace plan that both sides agree with. Give us the overview of it, if you would.
Sure. So basically, this is indicative of a lot of the other topics we deal with, where everyone says things are impossible or Trump's doing the wrong thing to get it done. But, you know, President Trump came in and he took a totally different approach than all of the, quote, experts who basically got us into all these endless wars and spent our money and our lives of American soldiers overseas fighting for other people's countries. And basically, you know, President Trump took some unconventional moves in the Middle East, but he's made it a safer place. And obviously his moves were really validated with the first peace agreement in the last 26 years and only the third peace agreement in the last 70 years with Israel. So it was a great breakthrough. This peace agreement between Israel and the United Arab Emirates will allow, you know, Jews now to Israelis to go to Dubai and to, you know, start integrating more, and it'll allow a lot of the Muslims from throughout the world to go to Israel and, you know, visit the mosque, and hopefully this will reduce the global tensions that we have. You know, America's great interest in the region used to be energy, but thanks to the energy revolution here in America, President Trump's been very pro-energy, pro-fracking, you know, clean energy. We're now energy independent as a country. So we're not as reliant on the Middle East, thanks to the president. So he's been trying to bring everyone in the region together around common objectives of having a better life, having security. He's trying to get them to move on from old conflicts. And that is allowing us to reduce the amount of troops that we have in the region. And also, the more that we have peace in the Middle East, the less excuses that the jihadists and the terrorists have to radicalize the youth and try to get them to create more instability and attack America.
Yeah, that's a great point. They lose that major talking point that they have, that major recruitment point that they have. In fact, this plan, despite what Fareed Zakaria suggested, it doesn't give away the store to Netanyahu. I mean, you know, this does a lot for both sides, including the fact that no one will be uprooted from their homes.
Look, you know, I came from a business background, and what I learned is, you know, nobody did a deal with you because they liked your tie. They did a deal with you because it was in their best interests. And, you know, President Trump was able to create in this situation a win-win scenario. It was a great win for the United Arab Emirates. It's a great win for Israel. They're both very sophisticated economies. They have great advancements in artificial intelligence, technology, healthcare, security, military. And so for them to be able to have the exchange together is a great thing. And keep in mind, in the previous administration, they did one of the worst deals in the history of our country, which was the Iran nuclear deal. Well, they basically gave Iran a pathway to a nuclear weapon, $150 billion, several billion in cash, And basically what Iran did when they signed the agreement, instead of saying, thank you, President Obama, they started chanting in the streets, death to America and death to Israel. And then they took all that money we gave them and they sent it to a lot of their proxy terror groups. And that led to more instability in the region. And as a result, ISIS formed, Syria, you know, fell into a civil war. Yemen became destabilized and a hotbed for terrorism. Libya became a mess. Iraq was a mess. And so, you know, we just had a lot of problems caused by this deal. And President Trump's diplomacy is about bringing people together and creating win-win opportunities. We can't want peace for people more than they want peace themselves. And, you know, President Trump's not lecturing countries. He's not imposing things. He's building relationships. He's strengthening the alliances that we've had. A lot of our allies felt very betrayed by that deal. President Trump is a big supporter for Israel's security. He's brought American and Israeli relations to the highest point that they've ever been. And he's also done that with a lot of the Arab leaders in the region. And so his great diplomacy of the last 3.5 years, even though he's done some unconventional things, he's earned trust. He's approached it as a pragmatist. And he's done some blunt action. He's done some tough talk. But he's gotten people to move forward. And he's done things that are in America's interests and the world's interests.
And no new wars.
No new wars. I remember in the last campaign, you had all these great generals who basically were and the foreign policy, quote, experts who got us into all these wars in the first place, saying that if President Trump was elected, we'd be in World War III. Well, he has a peace agreement in the Middle East, the first in 26 years. He has the outlines of a peace agreement in Afghanistan. There's been no U.S. soldiers killed there since February, knock on wood. And we've been able to reduce our troop presence in Afghanistan to 4,000 troops, and hopefully we'll be able to, you know, finish that deal up and bring all of our troops home. We were spending, when we got into office, $50 billion a year in Afghanistan. We should be spending $50 billion rebuilding our inner cities. We should be spending it in Philadelphia. We should be spending it in Pittsburgh. We should be spending it, you know, fixing our roads and bridges. The past, and this is not a knock on Democrats, because there was Republicans too. These people, they lost sight of what was in the best interest of the American worker and the American people. And they really got our country entangled all over the world. So you can't just flip a switch and undo it. But President Trump has made a lot of very smart moves. He's getting our allies to pay more. He's made better trade deals that are bringing our jobs and manufacturing base back to America. And he's realigning the world. And so I'm very confident that, you know, if President Trump gets a second term, he set the table and he's going to finish a lot of these deals, bring even more peace, and make sure that America emerges after this virus stronger than ever before.
Yeah, you know, Jared Kushner, it's frustrating to me that a lot of the people that want the president to be engaged more militarily, the very same people you mentioned, they are really the never Trumpers now. I mean, they're the ones who are trying to stop him now. They tried to stop him in 2016. And I said to them in the Oval Office, I said, you know, the fact is that since you're not starting new wars, you're trying to reach across, you're trying to build coalitions, you're trying to build peace. They don't like that. And that bothers me. And I still think that is at the root of a lot of the animosity they have towards the president.
Look, you could either be a lecturing moralist or you could be an accomplishing pragmatist. And again, you know, we don't agree with every country on everything. You know, President Trump's built good relations, whether it's with China or Russia or Turkey, and he doesn't agree with those leaders on a lot of things. But on areas where it's in America's interest to agree, he's built the relationships and he's been able to put things forward. And then, you know, a lot of the establishment people, they've, you know, criticized the president for the tough talk that he's given allies like Germany and Europe. But quite frankly, they pay 1% of their GDP on military, and it's not enough. So President Trump's got in NATO to spend $130 billion more on their military to defend themselves. We shouldn't be defending Europe. They're now very wealthy. That was a deal that was made after the Second World War. A lot's changed since then. Thanks to America's largesse, we've helped build all these thriving democracies. But now they have to take on the burden. We have to rebalance the arrangement where they pay for themselves. And, you know, people criticize President Trump for saying, yeah, I seriously would get out of these agreements if they don't get rebalanced. Well, you can't tell people to rebalance. And then if they think you're not going to leave, then they're not going to do anything. And that's what previous administrations have done. So President Trump is all action. Again, sometimes he uses tough words. Sometimes he takes an unconventional approach, but he gets it done. And look, for me, this is not a Republican issue or a Democrat issue. I actually was a Democrat before I got involved in the politics. Now I'm obviously a believer in President Trump's agenda. I call myself a Trump Republican. But this is about inside versus outside. You have Republicans and Democrats who both had this adventurous foreign policy that was, you know, leading to more instability around the world, trying to lecture countries on how to run themselves being interventionists and getting us into all these wars without a plan for how to get us out. President Trump is slowly trying to figure out how to unwind all these allegiances in a safe way. And I say slowly and in a safe way. You know, when we got into office, ISIS had a caliphate the size of Ohio. They were beheading journalists. They were killing Christians. And basically, they were, planning a lot of terror attacks on America from this caliphate that they'd established. President Trump came into office, worked with his military within a year and a half. He took back the entire territorial caliphate. That is what happened. So people don't realize all the bad things that could happen if you don't have a strong leader like President Trump in office.
And I think it's also important to remember that with this Middle East peace plan, it's safety and prosperity for the Jewish people, for the Palestinian people, Muslims, Christians, all across the board. We're talking about religious liberty, religious freedom, and religious preservation, and that's a key part of this plan that, again, is not getting nearly enough attention as it should be getting. This is the kind of thing. It's not just a political plan or an economic plan, but it's also going to protect and allow people the ability to worship their God and to reduce the violence that's so often associated with that.
Completely. That's why the peace agreement we named the Abraham Accords, because Abraham was the father of the three, major faiths. And what we basically did here was we got people to agree that we're all we can't allow these past conflicts to fester. And quite frankly, in the Middle East, a lot of these leaders used their hatred of Israel as a way to divert attention from their shortcomings at home. And so that stoked a lot of anti-Semitism, a lot of bloodshed. But if you think about going back to 1948, what would have happened had instead of Nasser getting all the Arabs to go to war against Israel after the state was declared, if they would have just said, you know what, that's okay, they could have a little bit of land, the Jewish people have been through enough. Then you think about all the instability, all the bloodshed, all the terror, all the horrors that could have been avoided over the last 70 plus years. So I do think that these leaders now are pragmatists. A lot of their populations have smartphones. They see the good lives that others can lead, and they realize that they need to clean out the mosques. And again, when President Trump took his first trip abroad, he went to Saudi Arabia as his first trip, which was unconventional. But there he got together the 54 leaders of the Muslim and Arab world. And he said, guys, these are our priorities in the Middle East. Number one is we have to stop Iran's destabilization of the region, and they can never get a nuclear weapon. Number two, we have to take back this territorial caliphate of ISIS. Number three, which is very important, he said, look, we need to fight and win the long-term battle against people who try to take the Islamic religion and pervert it, the radical extremists. And we launched two things in Saudi Arabia. One was a counter-terror finance center, which over the last 3 years has dramatically reduced the amount of money going to the terror groups. And number two was a counter-extremism center, where we were fighting the online battle against a lot of the groups that were using the internet to radicalize youth all over the world. And so both of those have been very effective, which is why you hear a lot less about these issues that really were very prevalent before. And again, it took a strong leader like President Trump, who's been willing to, not allow these countries to live in the gray. He says, you're either with America or you're not with America. If you're not with us, then, there's no one tougher than Trump. And if, you're with him, then there's nobody who's a better ally and friend. So, tough leader, maybe he's not a traditional politician. But again, this historic peace deal is something that's eluded people for a long time. And President Trump delivered because he is a disruptive and an effective president.
Yeah, well said. I could talk to you all day about this stuff, and I promised you I wanted to give you a platform for my massive audience about Middle East peace. But I hope you'll come back and talk to us again about Operation Warp Speed, which is doing great, about the election. Jared, I said this back in 2015 and 2016. I'm thankful that you're by the president's side. I'm thankful you're by his side today. And I appreciate the great work you do. I think you're an incredibly bright guy. And I just genuinely know how much the president values your counsel. And I thank God you're there. So thank you for all the work you do, because I know it's a tremendous sacrifice to you and your family. I know you and Ivanka both work very, very hard, and your beautiful children, but it's a tremendous sacrifice you make for our country, and I appreciate that, and I want you to know that.
No, well, thank you for saying that. But I will say it's really just a tremendous honor. When President Trump was running, he was running because he saw a lot of things happening in the country that he thought were not within the best interests of the country long term. And, during the campaign, he said, if I'm elected, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And quite frankly, unlike most politicians, he came to Washington and he's kept all of his promises. In fact, he jokes, I think he's kept more promises than he even made to the American people. And, we just unveiled a whole new set of promises to the American people. And just like he kept his promises last time, he's going to get these done, too. So you know, we're in a very interesting time. You mentioned Warp Speed. We are in phase three trials of three different vaccine candidates. We're mass producing six. To give you an idea of what an entrepreneurial president does, the fastest candidate ever to a phase three trial for a vaccine was 13 months. We did our first one in 4 months, and we did the second one in 4 months and a week. And so, wow. You know, we're really rocking on that. And I think coming out of the virus, you know, obviously we're going to have the vaccine that will help us get back to normal. We are going to emerge as a country much stronger than anyone else in the world because of the way that we've managed our way through this virus. Our economy's, you know, picking up in a V-shaped recovery. We've set the groundwork with a lot of these countries. We've started bringing our jobs back from overseas. We're starting to manufacture medical supplies and equipment here in America. And I think that you're going to see under President Trump's leadership, this country is going to rise to heights we never even imagined were possible.
And I know we're going to hear a lot about that Thursday night when the president formally accepts the nomination as Republican nominee for president again.
He definitely will. He's got an exciting speech. And from my personal point of view, he'll be introduced by a very great woman, which is my wife. So I'll be watching very closely. And again, it's an honor to serve this country. And I couldn't be prouder of the job the president's doing.
Jared Kushner, senior advisor of the president. Appreciate all your great work, my friend. Give my best to Ivanka and your children and, of course, to the president. OK,
thank you, Rich. All the best to you and your family.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.